had we're going to talk about Halachot Shabbat, and I don't think we are able to finish all Halachot Shabbat tonight. So I'm going to take two or three times to finish Halachot Shabbat alone. If you want to finish in five times, then I could finish everything tonight. If you don't mind to come two or three times more, then it's going to take longer to finish Halachot Shabbat, but to cover completely, it's going to take a little time. Tonight we're going to talk about Halachot of Kiddush, Halakhat Nerot, and Erev Shabbat to prepare for Shabbat also. First of all, Mishnah Berurah in the Akdama writes that if somebody does not learn Halachot Shabbat properly, it's impossible to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew. That means that if somebody does not know all the 39 Melachot of Shabbat, does not know all the Halachot of Kiddush and Mukseh and all Halachot Midrabanan, it's impossible to be a Shomer Shabbos. But therefore, my goal is Bezrat Hashem to cover most of the Halachot Shabbat, which is applicable to everybody, and through that, I'm sure people have a lot of questions. I've tried to answer all the questions tonight, about 10-15 minutes before the shul is over. But I'd be more than happy to stand after Arvit. We're having Mariv at 9 o'clock. But before Mariv, I davened already, I'm willing to stand outside. If people have any questions, you could talk, answer any questions that anybody would have. First of all, on Erev Shabbat, a person has an obligation to do something for Shabbat. Even if we have help, we have maids, there are people are helping us, one has to do whatever they can to do something for Shabbat. Even a small thing, you have to do something for Shabbat. The only place in Shulchan Aruch that Shulchan Aruch writes that Tanaim and Amoraim did certain things is only Halachot Shabbat. Shulchan Aruch brings that Rabbi Yosef used to cut wood for Shabbat. Then it brings Rav Chiya chopped vegetables for Shabbat. Each one did something for Shabbat. That's the only place in the whole Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch that Rabbi Yosef Karo quotes and brings the name of Tanaim and Amoraim that they did something for Shabbat. Doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a small thing that a person has to do, but has to be lechot Shabbat, that anybody, men or women, they have to do lechot Shabbat. Also, Mishnah Berurah brings that anybody that sweats lechot Shabbat has the same din like a person cries. The tears of a person, the Gemara says, sha'aret b'ma'ot enan min'alim, that the gates of tears does not close up. The same halacha would apply if somebody would sweat lechot Shabbat. Right? Therefore, this is important for a person to work so hard that we have some sweat coming down. And also the Gemara tells us that any time that a person does anything, it's good to say lechot Shabbos Kodesh. That word, that three words that we say, that by itself brings the Kedusha and puts it on things that we do and gives a certain kedusha on the actions that we do for Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says, brings the Shem Taz, that one should try to eat or to taste some foods. Any food that you prepare for Shabbat should have a taste of that. The reason is that you want to make sure that they have enough salt, pepper, whatever you put on, that is properly cooked and ready for Shabbat. According to Arizal, Zalpi Kabbalah, is important for a woman to set the table for Shabbos. I'm not saying that the man shouldn't do it, but Zalpi Kabbalah is important. Arizal says that the woman should have that opportunity to set the table for Shabbat. Also, the Arizal says that one should do all the kinyot, all the shoppings, the chot Shabbos should do it on Friday. Cooking should be done on Friday, baking should be done on Friday, buying stuff should be done on Friday. That is impossible, and I know. It's impossible to do it on Friday. But the result says, if a person wants everything should be, the Kedushat Shabbos should be done on Shabbos morning. Now, I know it's impossible to do it, but if a person cannot at least do it Thursday night after Shakia, that it should be part of, still considered part of Erev Shabbos. That's one thing you can do. But even people that they cook on Thursday or Thursday night should have something, should do something on Erev Shabbat to do it B'chvot Shabbat on Friday. Baking challot also, one should try to do it on Friday also in order to be L'chvot Shabbos. The food that one makes for Shabbat has to be especially for Shabbat. You know that every nationality, doesn't matter Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Hasidim, or any type of a Hasidim, they have certain foods that they make for Shabbos. It wasn't just somebody liked the taste and came out with that type of food. There are customs, there are minhagim, and one should follow the customs of the food that was made for generations. Everyone has certain customs that they eat certain food, and one should try to keep those customs going and make that type of food for Shabbos. One of the things that Mishnah Berurah brings is that the person should try to have fish on Shabbos, as I'm sure everybody knows that. But if somebody does not like fish, you don't have to force yourself to eat fish. You don't have to have it. We know also the halacha is that one has to, the mitzvah on Shabbos, to have meat on Shabbos. If somebody doesn't like meat, or you are on diet, or it's impossible for you to have meat, or for whatever reason you don't want to have meat, you don't have to have meat on Shabbos either. The Shabbos is not to mitzayer, the Shabbat is not to mitzayer a person. It's not the time that the person should have a hard time or should not be comfortable. Shabbat is the time that the person should have honek Shabbos, and therefore, if somebody does not have fish or meat or whatever other food that you don't like, then you make foods that you like and you are comfortable and you could have a nice pleasure Shabbos. The halacha is that the person should have at least two foods for Shabbat. Two foods Friday night, two foods Shabbat morning. Less than that is not a kavod, is not a respect for Shabbat to make. Therefore, if somebody wants to make food, you could make a lot, one type, small portion, but make two portions, two different types of food for Shabbat. Also, if somebody making a lot of food, the best food should be done for Shabbat morning rather than Friday night. Shabbat morning's kavod is more important than Friday nights. If you have certain food that you like better, or you want to make more food, or you have an opportunity to make more food, should be done for Shabbat morning than Friday night. Also, one has, the Gemara says, that one should try to take a shower on Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, the shower has to be as hot as possible. Naim Chamin, the Gemara says. The Bible says that the person when takes a shower should be Naim Chamin, and also when the person takes a shower should take their head under the water first, than the rest of the body. That applies, by the way, all the time, not only Erev Shabbat, all the time. So the person should do it, first should do head, then rest of the body. But Naim Chamin, I'm not saying to burn yourself, but has to be hot. As much as you can take should be done in Naim Chamin. Now, if somebody doesn't have time, especially now during winter, that is hard to have to take shower Erev Shabbos, but at least one has to try to wash their hand, their feet, and their face on Erev Shabbat. If you take, let's say somebody took shower Thursday night or Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, that even if somebody, the most preferable way to take a shower is right before Shabbat. Don't do it Friday morning or Thursday night. Should be done lichvot Shabbat Kodesh. That's the best way to do it. Now, a lot of times people are running and they are late and they won't have enough time to take a shower, it is asur to take any chance of Chilul Shabbos to take a shower on Erev Shabbat. If you see you don't have time, then don't do it. That not even 1 minute after Shakia, somebody goes in the shower, 1 minute after sunset, you are Mechalel Shabbos and there is no heter whatsoever for it. If there is no time, then it's better not to take a chance. If you have 5 minutes, you know it's going to take you 6 minutes to take a shower, then don't do it, because the price that the person pays for Chilul Shabbos is not Kedai. It's a mitzvah also to take a haircut for Bichvot Shabbos. It's for men, but women also, if they have, they want to take haircut or they want to do any other things that they want to do to themselves, it should be done Erev Shabbat or Thursday Lichvot Shabbat. But if somebody cannot do it Erev Shabbat, it's to do it Wednesday, Thursday, as close as possible to Shabbat is better. Also, one should try to cut nails on Erev Shabbat. Now, I want to talk about a little bit about cutting nails. Even though that is not only about Erev Shabbat, but during the year or during any other day of the week, but cutting nails is a very, very important inyan al-pi Kabbalah, because the Arizal says that a person's nail, if a nail is over your when you look at it this way, you see your nail up, then it's assured to keep the nails like that. You have to cut it right away. The nail should not be over the person's fingers. It has to be always below the finger. So therefore, also al-pi Kabbalah, one should not cut nails at night. Also, if somebody has to do it, or if the nails are over the finger, then you should do it at night. It's not a problem. But it is important to cut nails on Erev Shabbat, no matter if you even do it last week, you should still do it this week. The nails of the feet, the fingers of the feet, does not have to be every week. At least once a month, a person should try to cut also the nails of their feet. Now, there is also different customs between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, how you cut their nails. According to Mishnah Berurah, the halacha is that one should not cut the nails kesidran. In other words, you cannot do it in order. You have to do it one, give the other one, and you cannot also do it the same day, your hand and your feet. The reason for that is because Rahman and Islam, they do it for dead person, that's the way they cut kesidran. Straight, they do it for somebody that's dead. Therefore, because they wanted to make a definition between a person is alive or a person is dead, the custom became not to cut it in order. The minhag by Sephardim is doesn't matter. You could cut the same day, could do it in order, could cut the same day with your feet and your hand. There is no problem, and that's the halacha. There's also one should try to wash their hand after cutting your nails. Now, if a lot of times the mother cuts nail for their children, when you cut their nails, you don't have to do nothing like a dying. The only the person that their nail came off, they have to do nothing like a dying. When you cutting somebody else's nail, that you don't have to worry about washing your hands. Throwing nails anywhere is very dangerous. Gemara says that a person, a woman that is pregnant, walking over a nail is a chashash that they could abort the kid. Therefore, when you cutting nails, especially in the mikveh, people walk in the mikveh, they go to the mikveh, they cut, they get prepared for the mikveh. Sometimes you cut your nails there, you have to be very, very careful that the nail falls in the right place. Cannot just worry about, even people that they cut their nails, they get on their clothing and they go like that, they could fall, even the smallest amount, fall somewhere, the sakana for a lady walking over. There's a story about Chafetz Chaim, that one Erev Shabbat, he was in the mikveh, he cut his nail, and one of the nails, he thought that he fell in the mikveh. He stood there, he emptied the whole mikveh by himself, to clear the mikveh, make sure that there is no nail inside the mikveh. It is such an important inyan that one has to be very careful that the nail should not just fall all over, or we are not to be careful that the nail should fall in the right place. The best place for the nail to be is inside the toilet, nowhere else. You cannot throw in the garbage, cannot throw it outside in the grass. It has to be inside the toilet, or you have to burn them. But the people don't want to do that. Therefore, the best thing is to just make sure it's flushed in toilet. And that's not only about the Erev Shabbat. Every time that the person cuts their nails, they should do that. Also, we should teach our children, when they cut their nails, that they should do it properly. Ashkenazim should teach their children also that they should cut not in order, and they should also make sure that they put it in the toilet, not in the garbage. The Ezra Sofer made the takana that one should not wash their clothing on Friday. The reason was because those days they didn't have machines to wash their clothing, and because if they had to wash their clothing on Friday, they wouldn't have enough time to prepare for Shabbat. Today that we have wash machines, we don't have to worry about this. If somebody wants to wash clothing on Erev Shabbat, it's not a problem, you are allowed to do that. There is also halacha that one should not travel on Erev Shabbat. Certain amount, that there was somebody wants to go to Dunwoody for Shabbat, it's not a problem. But if somebody wants to go out of town, let's say Augusta, Birmingham, Savannah, within the traveling, or somebody wants to fly, one should not do that. The reason the Gemara says one person should not do that is not because people think something might happen to your car. That's not the reason. The reason is that you might not be prepared the place that you are going for Shabbat. In other words, if you are going somewhere, just going to get there right before Shabbat, and you are not prepared, is you are not going to have enough food, you don't have a place to stay, there is no Onek Shabbat, there is no Kavod Shabbat. Therefore, Chachamim, they made the takana that one should not travel on Erev Shabbat. But if somebody has a place to stay, they're all set, they know where they're staying, and everything is beautiful, then you are allowed to travel on Erev Shabbat also, as long as you know you're going to get there before Shabbat, and it's not going to be a Chilul Shabbat involved. One should have clothing specially for Shabbat. Now this halacha is a very important halacha, because people, I see women, men, everybody, they dress whatever they have for weekday and Shabbat. This halacha, there's a remez in the pasuk in the Torah, that one has to have special suits or special skirts or jacket or whatever they have, hats, shaitos, lichvot Shabbat only. You cannot wear it Sunday night for a banquet and then do it for Shabbat also. That the clothing for Shabbat has to be specially for Shabbat, nothing else. The only thing that the person does not have to have specially for Shabbat is shoes. Anything else, one should have specially for Shabbat. If somebody is alone at home for Shabbat, still one has to put the Chvot Shabbat, they have to put special clothing on Shabbat also. The Chvot Shabbat doesn't mean that only if you have guests, you have to put special clothing. Any time that you are Friday afternoon comes, one has to wear the Chvot Shabbat, you have to have special clothing on. It is important to set the table on Erev Shabbat from Friday morning. Don't wait till last minute, or the least, at least before Shakia. Don't do it that when the people are coming home from shul. It's not a proper thing to do. The Gemara says, two malachim, two angels are following a person to come to their home on Friday night. When they see the table is not set, they're going to tell each other they are not going to come here next week. We want the table to be set and be the Chvod Shabbat, and everything has to be completely set before Shabbat. Also, one should not eat Erev Shabbat Seuda Gedola. That means, let's say now it's about 5:30 Shekiah, be around 2:30, one should not have a seuda. Should not sit down to have a lunch by around from 2:30 on. But if somebody wants to have a cookie or food or juice or everything else, you are allowed to do that. But a lot of Gedolim, they used to fast Erev Shabbat, not a fast, though they ate the least as possible because they wanted to have appetite for Friday night. Adlakat Nerot, lighting candles, is not only the woman's mitzvah, it's the household mitzvah. Every Jew, men or women, or anybody who's over 13 years old and they live by themselves, they have an obligation to light Adlakat Nerot on Shabbat. But if somebody is living in a household and the husband or wife, the wife has a more obligation to, this is the mitzvah of a woman to light, because they cause the Nerot Shel Olam, the Midrash says, they cause the Nerot, the light of the world to distinguish. They have this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Adlakat Nerot was given to them. But it doesn't mean that the husband has no obligation to light candles on Shabbat. If somebody lives, or a boy or a man lives by themselves, they also have an obligation to light candles for Shabbos, and they have to make a barakha. But there are different chilukim, there are different opinions, there are different halachot for men and women, how the Adlakat Nerot plays in for Shabbat. First of all, lighting candles should be done, l'chatechila, on the table that you are eating for Shabbos. That's the best thing to do, if there is a place. Because when you're looking at it, as long as you have to make sure there's no chilul Shabbos involved, when you're getting up, the table, moving your table, then it's not kedai to put it on the table. The second best thing is to put it at the table next to you on the place, dining room, that you are eating. A lot of times, if they light their candles in their kitchen, and they eat in the dining room. Or they light in the living room, but they eat in the dining room. They don't see the candles at all. There's no point of lighting candles in a place that they cannot see during Seuda. There has to be a place that they are able to see the candles of the Nerot during the Seuda. There's also different customs, how many candles one should light for Shabbat. Lefi halacha, the minhag is to light only two. But it really, if said halacha, only one is enough. But the minhag became to light two candles for Shabbat. Now, there are certain people have customs to light seven. Some people have a custom to light ten. Some people have custom to light according to the boys, to the girls, to the in-laws, I don't know what. Everybody got different customs. Whatever custom you have, if there is a base in halacha for it, then fine. If you just made up how many candles you like to light, that's not a problem. You can't just make up stuff. One has to have a place for it, has to be a source in halacha for it, then you could do whatever you want. There's also, one has to understand, when you start lighting candles like that, it could become a neder that if somebody decides not to do it, then you are dealing with the halacha of neder. You have to do atarat nedarim. Cannot just light this week like this, or for 6 months you light five, then you decide it's too much, it's too hot in the house, I'm going to lower it down to two. Doesn't work that way. You have to make a decision how many candles you're lighting, and if you want to do it five or whatever number you want to do, you have to say very neder, this is what I'm going to do. And if you decide to lower it down or to change it, then you are allowed to do that. But you can't just change your mind because the amount of candles that you are lighting is not enough for you, or is not good, or you are not comfortable with it. The mitzvah is one should light candles with shemen zayit, with olive oil. It's a mitzvah min habuchar to do that. Now, if somebody doesn't have a shemen zayit, olive oil, you are allowed to use other type of oils for Shabbos. It doesn't have to be olive oil, but still it's a mitzvah to use olive oil lichvot Shabbat to light the Shabbos candles. If a person doesn't have any type of oils, then you could use the regular sha'ava, could use the regular candles also to light. Now, if somebody b'sha'at adachat, they don't have oil, they don't have candles, you are allowed to use electric menorah to let Shabbos candles, and they could make a beracha on it also. That happens for ladies that are in hospital, they're giving birth, they are in hospital, they don't let you light candles in the hospital for Shabbat. You are allowed to use the menorah, those that they make for Shabbos, could use them, and you are allowed to make a beracha on them also. It's not like Chanukah. Chanukah, you are not allowed to make a beracha on Chanukiah that made of electricity, but for Shabbos candles, you are allowed to make a beracha on them. Now, there are different customs also when to make a beracha. There are some say that you should make a beracha like every other mitzvah. They say you want to have a cup of water, you make a beracha, you drink. Adrakan Nerot is the same thing. You make a beracha, then you light candles. The masters in Shulchan Aruch, that the minhag is that you light the candles, you cover your face, you make a beracha, then you open your eyes, and that's the way the custom became between Ashkenazim, that's the way to do it. I just wanted to, as a side note, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, who was the father-in-law of Rav Shach, he said that also one should light, make a beracha before you light candles. And there was like every other, they told his household that's the way they should do it. I'm not telling you to change. The minhag is that minhag by Ashkenazim is to light, then you cover your eyes and make a beracha. Sephardim, also a lot of the Sephardim also have this custom. They follow this custom of Rema, because Arab Ben Ishchai brings that the minhag is by Sephardim also. They cover their eyes, they light, they cover their eyes, then they make a bracha. If somebody never had a custom, you don't know, you never had a custom, your mother didn't give a custom, you just starting to light candles, then you should, as Sephardim, should follow the Shulchan Aruch, which is that you should make a beracha first, then light candles. But if you have a minhag from your mothers or grandmothers and you've been doing a certain way, then you should continue whatever you are doing. It is important for a person not to use a match to light candles. Should have special candle to light all the other candles in it. There is an Indian, the Kutei Ma'arich brings that it is an Indian not to use a match. You should have a special candle that you light all the other candles for the four Shabbos.
Then can you turn the candle out?
I'm going to talk about that now. Wait. If somebody, the Mishaberul I think brings that if somebody has a hard time raising their children, or somebody has a hard time having children, it is a segula to read right after Adlakan Nerot the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That first of all, is not just reading, it's not enough. You should understand it, and also you should do it by Kavanah. That the segula, that too many times the Mishaberul brings the segulot, but this is one segula that a lot of poskim bring, that people that have a hard time to raise their children and having a hard time to become pregnant, it is a segula to do that. Now, the halacha is that the women, they accept Shabbat with Adlakat Nerot. The men accept Shabbat when they come to Shul and they say Lacha Dadi. That's the halacha. Now, if a woman does not want to accept Shabbat with Adlakat Nerot, let's say you are invited out, you want to go to their home, but you want to light candles at home, then you want to go to somebody's home. You don't want to walk. Then you are allowed to make a tenai, make a condition before you light the candles and say that I'm not accepting Shabbat with Adlakat Nerot, and then you are allowed to sit in a car and go where you're going. This halacha really applies during summer. A lot of women, they want to get ready for mikveh and they don't have time to do it before Adlakat Nerot, they want to do it after. After Adlakat Nerot, then you are allowed to light candles, make it tonight that you want to do all the preparation for the mikveh after Adlakat Nerot. That's also possible to do that. A man that light candles at home is not, even if he doesn't say it, he does not accept Shabbat at Adlakat Nerot. Even if he lives by himself and he lights candles every week, he does not accept Shabbat with the Kain Nerot, and he is allowed to come. You are allowed to sit in a car and go to shul before after Allah Kanerot. There also is a mitzvah that a woman should put Shabbos clothing on before you light Shabbat candles. Because once you are lighting Shabbat candles, you are accepting Shabbat, and should have your clothing on. Now I just want to point out one thing that I said. This is a mitzvah, by the way, to give tzedakah and to say tefillah by the time of Hadlakat Nerot. Now, this tefillah, a lot of people, they make a mistake how they read, say this tefillah. It's important tefillah. There are no noschaot, but a lot of different noschaot. Everybody, I'm sure everybody has different, each one, or everybody has the same one. The way people do it is that you light candles, you put your hands on your face, you make a barakha, then you don't open your eyes. You have to open your eyes before say the tefillah. Because if once you have your eyes are closed, you made a barakha, you have to open your eyes to have anaha from the light of the candles. Because if you don't, then the barakha is the batala. A lot of people, what they do, they close their eyes, they make a barakha, and they stay closed, and they say the tefillah. Doesn't work that way. You have to make a barakha, open your eyes, you look at the candles, then say your tefillah then. It's important to know that, because a lot of people, they just follow what when they close their eyes, they continue with their tefillah. The time for Adlakat Nerot, the minhag in America is to do it 18 minutes before sunset. In Eretz Israel, there are different customs to do it, but lefi halacha, one is allowed to light candles until a few minutes after Shekiah. It doesn't have to be mamash 18 minutes. It is a minhag to do it 18 minutes, but one should follow this custom, because you don't want to wait till last minute to light your candles. There is also an halacha, tosefet Shabbat is midoraita. One should not wait till last minute to accept Shabbat, should have at least 2, 3, 5 minutes before Shabbos come, should accept Shabbat then. Should not wait for last minute. Because the halacha is that accepting few minutes chol, bringing few minutes of the whole day to Shabbos day, is a mitzvah midoraita, and one should do that. Now, if somebody did not light candles 18 minutes, you have time till a few minutes, 4 or 5 minutes before Shekiah to light your candles. You didn't do that then either, you could do it up to Shekiah. You are allowed to light candles. Let's say you don't have a watch. Or Shekiah is 5:30. Now you're looking at your watch, it's 5:29. Do not light candles. If you don't know your watch is right, it could be a minute off, then you are taking a chance of Chilul Shabbat. It's better not to light candles than lighting candles, and your watch could be off a minute, and you could come to do a Chilul Shabbat. Therefore, one should not make it a rule for yourself. After 2-3 minutes, before Shekiah, you are not going to light candles, because you don't want to take a chance. It might be a Shekiah, but for sure it is. Even if there's a safek, there's a doubt that it's a Shekiah, you don't want to take a chance, and you don't want to light a candle, that Chas v'Shalom, Chilul Shabbos could come out of it. The earliest time that one is allowed to light candles is Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha normally is about another 15 minutes before Shekiah. And again, another 15 minutes, halachic hour. You have to look at the calendars to find out what time is Plag HaMincha with you. If somebody lights candles before Plag HaMincha, you are not Yotze of Adlakat Nerot. You have to turn it off and light the candles without the Barakha. You cannot make a new Barakha if you do that. Now, if somebody is not sure that you light candles before Plag HaMincha or after Plag HaMincha, you are not sure. You light candles, then if this happens all the time. I get these questions every week almost during summertime. Summertime, everybody lights candles like Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha, sometimes people don't know what time was Plag HaMincha. They light candles, then they weren't sure. Was it the Plag HaMincha? Wasn't it Plag HaMincha? Then the way you do it, you are not allowed to tear up the candles. Because the woman that turn on the candle, you accepted Shabbos already. You are not allowed to turn it up. You have to get your husband or somebody else to turn off the candle. Then they should turn on the candle again. Because by you, if it was after polygamy and already, then you accepted Shabbos. Cannot turn it off. But also there's a possibility that it wasn't after polygamy. Somebody else should turn it up and somebody else should turn it on in order to be the kind of Advokat Nerot. Now, there's also this halacha happens all the time. People are invited out Friday night. What is the best possible way of lighting candles? If you are invited out, the best thing is to light candles in your own home. Light candles, then leave enough oil in there, or if you're lighting with candles and you have long candles that stays on, when you come home, still is on. But if you know it's going to be late and it's going to take hours before you get home, then the second best thing is wherever you are going, you should get there before Shabbat and light candles there. The third possible way is that if you cannot get there before Shabbat, or you're going to go, coming to shul, then you're going there after the davening, then the third possible way is to call them up, tell them, would you please have me in mind, and give them a quarter that you should be mishtatef, should be part of their adlakat nerot. But they should have you in mind to, when they light candles, that you are part of it. Now this halacha also, again, is a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. When you are going to somebody else's home and you're lighting candles, you should not light candles in the same room that everybody else light. Because if they say they light in the dining room, you cannot light in the dining room also and make a baracha there. You have to light the candle somewhere else in order to make a baracha. This halacha happens also when you go to a hotel. Everybody, they give you a room, everybody lights candles there. Sephardim cannot light candles in the same room and make a barakah. If there is somebody already lit there, you cannot light in the same room, make a barakah. Could light it out of barakah. Cannot make a barakah. The Ashkenazim minhag is that you are allowed to light candles in the same room and make a barakah also there. Now, another common halakha that a lot of people they face with it is that, let's say a woman is out of town or she had a baby in the hospital. The husband is home by himself. He has to light candles, make a barakha. She has to light candles by herself and make a barakha. It's not like a Hanukkah candle. The Hanukkah candle, once the household makes a barakha or lights candles, the other one doesn't have to worry about it. By Shabbos candles, it's not like that. The husband has to make a barakah where he is. She has to make a barakah and light candles where they are. And also, when let's say the kids are home, the husband is by himself, it's better for him to light the candles rather than asking the girls to light the candles for it. Because the girls have no chiyuv. They have no obligation. The husband has obligation to light. He should not ask the children, I'm talking about older kids, they should like the husband should light the candles. Also, the minhag is that we don't ask the girls that they are not married. They should not light candles with the barakah is asur to do that. They want to do without the barakah. The minhag is by us. We don't do that, and they should follow their custom. Also, the halacha is that if somebody forgets to light candles for one Shabbat. It was your mistake, you didn't light it, then you have to light candles from then on, next Shabbos on, for the rest of your life. You have to light one more candle. This is a minhag by Ashkenazim. So far, if they are discussed and forget, you don't have to add any more candles, you could just make sure you don't do it again. But Ashkenazim, they have, if they forget, the minhag is by them, that they have to light one more candle. But this halacha only applies only if there was shogeg. But if they were anus, let's say you were caught in traffic, but out of your hand, you couldn't do anything about it. when you got home, there was already a Shekiah, you couldn't light candles, you don't have to do that, you don't have to worry about that. Or, let's say the candles that you lit went off. You lit it, a minute after Shekiah went off. You don't have to worry about lighting extra candles. Only if somebody forgot, or you could have prevented the situation, and you didn't prevent the situation. In that situation, you have to add on. But if not, then if it was any other situation, you don't have to add on a candle either. Now, let's say one is allowed also to light candles after Shekiah in certain situations. Let's say you come home, it's Shekiah time. You are allowed to ask a goy to light Shabbos candles for you, but you cannot make a bracha. You are allowed to do that up to 13 minutes after Shekiah. Ben HaShemashot, you are allowed to ask a goy to light the Shabbos candles, but once they light, you are not allowed to make a bracha. Also, one should try to have Shabbos candles on through the old Seudah. It's not only that light it for half an hour, 45 minutes. The light should be on for the whole time. Now, also, a lot of times people light candles, and especially during summer, you light candles until Shekiah, it could be about an hour and a half, and you are thirsty. A woman is allowed to have a cup of water after Adlakan Nerot until Shekiah time. You are allowed to do that. If a woman lights candles for the first time, they should not make Shekhiyanu for Adlakan Nerot. If the Chatechil also, woman should daven Mincha before Adlakan Nerot. Let's say you're looking at your watch, it's no time to daven Mincha and light candles, then make it tonight, make a condition that I'm not accepting Shabbat with Adlakan Nerot, and you are allowed to daven Mincha after Adlakan Nerot also. Let's say you didn't make it tonight, but you had in mind to do that also you are allowed to daven Mincha after Adlakan Nerot also. The women have an obligation to make a Kiddush. The Kiddush of Friday night and Shabbat morning, everyone has the same obligation, men and women, and a woman even allowed to make a Kiddush to motzi yedechova of a man also. Doesn't have to be a woman, the minhag is not to do that, but let's say a man does not know how to read Hebrew, and a woman knows how to read Hebrew, a woman is allowed to make a Kiddush at home, and motzi the man in the house also. After the Kiddush, one is asur to talk until you drink the wine. It's very important. It might take a while, but until the person that made the Kiddush, until you don't drink the Kiddush cup, you are not allowed to talk. If somebody spoke after the Kiddush, before you drank the wine, if you want to drink the wine, you have to make Borei Pri HaGefen, only Borei Pri HaGefen, and then you are allowed to drink the wine. A woman that is doing the nida time, she is allowed to drink from the cup of her husband when they make a kiddush. It doesn't have to put it in another cup to give it to you. You are allowed to drink from the same cup also. Now the women that Shabbos morning, they have to make a kiddush. Now the question is, are they allowed to have something? Could they have a piece of cake? Could they have a coffee, tea before Kiddush or not? Now, if the woman normally davens Shacharit, then she should make Kiddush before she wants to have a piece of cake. But coffee or tea, she doesn't have to make a Kiddush. Even if she davens Shacharit every day, she's allowed to have a coffee or tea before Kiddush also. Now, if a woman normally doesn't daven Shacharit, sometimes does, sometimes doesn't, then you don't have to worry about it. You are allowed to have a piece of cake or coffee or tea or anything you want to have without a kiddush also, no problem. A woman has an obligation also to have shalosh seudot, three seudot with bread. They are also of an obligation, and they also have an obligation to have lechem mishneh for all three seudot on Shabbat also. The kot shel kiddush, that you use it for making a kiddush, it has to hold at least 3.5 ounces, and should make sure that the cup is complete, and also one should not use the one-time cups, the paper cup, the plastic cups for Kiddush. It is important to have a beautiful cup, Lichbot Shabbat, and you should use that only for Shabbat purposes. The wine that one uses for Shabbat, you have to make sure that it's always covered. That, I'm not talking about in Shabbat. Anytime, wine has to stay covered all the time. If somebody leaves a wine uncovered overnight, next morning after throw it away, you cannot use it anymore. But if you have the wine inside the refrigerator, uncovered, but the other is okay. But lachatchila also that should stay on, just to stay covered in the refrigerator also. Lachatchila also one should use only wine for kiddush, not grape juice. The Gemara says it is important to use only wine, and also it's better to use a wine that is not nevushal. That is hard to have. Not yain, not mevushal at the table for different reasons, but one should try to use only wine. Now, grape juice, one has to understand that even for Ashkenazim, it's no different Ashkenazim Sephardim. Grape juice not always the beracha is bor priya gefen. If you have a grape juice made of concentrated grape juice, the beracha is shahakol, it's not bor priya gefen. Any type of a grape juice that you buy from a store doesn't automatically becomes borei priya gefen. You have to make sure that it's 100% grape juice and there's nothing added to it, there's no sugar added to it, then you could make borei priya gefen. But otherwise, one should not do that. Now also, sometimes the synagogue that the husband does festival during summertime, if a husband belongs to a certain shul, they daven early and he davens always in that shul, automatically is part of that shul. Even if he didn't daven, he accepted Shabbat already with that. That's Nigrad, he's part of the deal. He becomes part of the synagogue, part of the Keilah, and that automatically they accepted Shabbat. Now, the household, the wife and the kids, they don't have to follow that. They don't have to also follow him to accept Shabbat right away. If he didn't, he by himself is going to accept Shabbat, but the household does not have to worry about it. Now, when husband accepts Shabbat, the household, they don't have to follow the husband to accept Shabbat. They could take your time, and whenever he comes home, you could accept Shabbat whenever you have time to do it. Now, the best thing, the lachatechila way is that the household also should accept Shabbat the same time that the husband does. But misat chiyuv, they have no obligation to do that, because the only reason in Atlanta or any other place they accept being Shabbat early is only because the Shekiah is so late. You are not, if the husband would do it because they want to have Shabbat early, misat alacha, they want to have Shabbat early, then the household also have to bring Shabbat early. But if they drink it because of convenience, then the household, they don't have to follow the husband, they don't have to bring the Shabbat early with him also. No questions?